Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise him. Amen. Man, give the worship team a hand, man. Man, they got us ready. They got us prepared. Amen. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Wednesday night, I know sometimes it is hard to come out, especially when you have kids and they got school and you have work in the morning, but I'm going to pray. We're going to believe right now. We're going to believe already that the worship team already prepared our hearts, that we're ready to be receivable today. So I'm just going to quickly pray and we're going to get into the message. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit, as we're just going to do the natural, Lord, we pray that you do the supernatural today, that no one leaves here the same today, God. So I just pray you anoint your people, anoint this message. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, it's 2022. It's a year, especially a month. It's still January, to set goals. I know if you're like me, you set goals. Sometimes I set too many and I don't accomplish none. So what I've learned to do is what I'm already doing, try to do it better. I think that's sometimes easier to just say, you know what, instead of making all kinds of new goals that you didn't even accomplish the year before, just try to do what you're doing a little bit better. And that's why I put this title, The Trainer. What not coming into a new year, looking at the Holy Spirit a little different than you look at the Holy Spirit, or looking at Jesus just a little different, but looking at Jesus and the Holy Spirit as your trainer. Someone that's going to be there for you in all part of your life, pushing you to greatness, pushing you to purpose, pushing you to the gifts and the callings of what God's called you to do. I remember it was last year. I was at a place in my own fitness. I was at a plateau. And I'm sitting here training people in different areas in fitness. But my own self was at a plateau. What that means is no matter what I did, I was getting zero results. Couldn't lose a pound if I wanted to. And I'm like, man, what am I doing wrong? I'm reading all the stuff on Google about losing weight. I'm adding in workouts. So you know what? I had to humble myself. I put my own pride down and hire a trainer. So you know what I did? I called the guy that I know that I've seen the results and the people that I said, man, I want to look like that. So guess what I did? I called the trainer and I said, hey, what can you do to help me? Here's my problem. This is what I'm trying to do. And I knew going into it, I know what trainers do. They're going to make you do stuff you don't want to do. I know what the Holy Spirit can do. When today, if we say, Holy Spirit, come into my life and be my trainer, I'm telling you guys right now, the Holy Spirit's going to push you in areas in your life. You ain't going to like it sometimes. But if you want the results that we see in the Bible, it's going to take some pushing. So as I'm talking to this trainer, the only thing I was praying, I said, God, please don't let him mention food. I just want to work out more. I hope that he doesn't say one word about food, calories, or anything. So I'm trying to, you know, pump him. I'm trying to change the way he's going to train me. And the first thing he mentions is, why need you to start counting calories? I'm like, oh, why I got to do that for? I ain't never done that before. I don't want to count calories. But see, he was taking me back to the basics of what he knew what I needed to do. He says, you got the workouts down packed, but you're doing something you've never done before. I'm like, well, I don't want to do it. But I said to myself, okay, before I send you my money, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to listen to every single thing you tell me to do. You promised me in 3 months. So that means I'm going to trust everything you tell me to do. And guess what? In 3 months, by listening to everything I didn't want to listen to and I did it, I've seen the results. So I'm saying that to say this. When Jesus comes into your life, when you surrender your life to Jesus, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life, it's how you view the Holy Spirit, how he's going to work in your life. If you can understand what I just explained about a trainer, then what not in the beginning of the new year, that be one of your goals? Saying, Holy Spirit, by the end of this service, whatever Pastor Al talks about, I'm going to submit to it. Because if it comes from the Word of God, it can change my life. If it comes from the Word of God, It can do stuff in my life that I've never experienced before. So I'm going to go back, way back to a basic that I believe is one of the most important basics that the Holy Spirit in Jesus can train us. It's prayer. It's something that we hear all the time. It's like me, before he told me to count my calories, every time I looked up in Google how to lose weight, it would say count calories. I don't want to count. I would try to find something else. I would try to compromise it being easier. You know, I'm being honest. Can it be easier? I want something easy. Doesn't that sound like our life sometimes? We want to lose weight fast, or we want to get money fast, or we want results in our prayer fast, but we got to learn and be trained by the Holy Spirit to be consistent in the small things so we can see the big things of God in our life. Amen? So I'm going to read. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read a few Bible verses. And we're going to look at what does the Bible, not what Pastor Al says about prayer. What does the Bible say about prayer? So I'm going to go through a few verses. My first verse is John 18:6. John 18:6. If you're back there, John 18:6. I hope they throw that up back there. John 18:6. Well, there it is. Listen to this. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So listen to this. So when he said to them, we already went to the wrong verse. 18:6, John 18:6. Psalms 145:18. We'll go to Psalms 145. Listen to this. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Let's stop right there. I'm just going to stop. If you got any more notes, you could stop right there. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. That means all you guys. When we call upon the name of the Lord, he is upon us. To all who call upon him in truth. Let's look at another verse. Luke 18:1. Let's look at this verse. Luke 18:1. Luke, listen to this. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Ain't that amazing? What he's telling us? Matthew 5:44. Matthew 5:44. Listen to this. But I say to you, love your enemies. This is like counting your calories, right? Listen, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let me read that Bible verse again. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Philippians 4:6. A lot of us know this verse. Philippians 4:6. Be what? For nothing. Hold up. You mean the Lord is telling me to have anxiety over nothing? Well, he didn't stop there. Imagine if he just stopped right there. Be anxious for nothing. Well, what do I do? But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God. I'm going to read that one more time. Be anxious for nothing. I don't know if you guys got a friend like this. I do, named Sharon. She's out there somewhere. I know how to do it now. Every time, I don't care what I say, hey, Sharon, you won't believe what's going on. Did you pray about it? I'm like, oh, man. No, I don't want to lie to her, right? No matter what I say, the first thing that's going to come out of Sharon's mouth, did you pray on it? So I know how to do it. Now I pray on it first, right? Then I ask her, hey, can you pray? Yes, I prayed about it. I'm going to read that one more time. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. For he says, pray without ceasing. It's like a hacking cough. I have been hearing a lot of people with hacking cough. Just pray without ceasing, right? I heard this one preacher say one time, I don't say amen until I close my eyes and go to bed. I've been praying without ceasing. I've learned it to be a habit in my life. It's that important. Like I said, I believe sometimes we've made prayer something we don't want to do. But not knowing, that's the first step to an effective walk with God. So I put a few things here. I go, why do we pray? So we're sitting here, we went over a few Bible verses, and we've seen that the Bible, what it talks about with prayer. But now why? Pastor, why do we pray? What do we get out of prayer? Let's look at it. I put right here. This is one of my key things that I put about prayer is a communication with God. I have some of my friends here, some good friends here. And how we became good friends, we had to start by communicating. How I got to know some of my friends, I had to spend time with some of my friends. I had to learn to communicate with my friends. And I put right here, listen to this. Relationships is dependent on communication. Your relationship with the Lord or anyone will never grow and develop without communication. There it is. You want to get to know God? Guess I got a secret. You got to talk to God. You want to get to know the Holy Spirit? You got to talk to the Holy Spirit. You got to say, Mr. Trainer, Holy Spirit, you need to learn to lead me and guide me. Teach me how to communicate with God. Even when I'm discouraged, even when I'm anxious, even when I feel like giving up and I have no hope, you got to teach me and help me to communicate with God. I'll put this right here. Prayer is a privilege. Ain't that amazing? That was one of my 3 points. But listen, prayer, think about it. In some of the Old Testament stories, we weren't able to go straight to God. We weren't able to connect with God in the way that we can connect with God today. So I want you guys to understand, whenever you're in your prayer time, whenever you're on your hands or knees or in your car or however the Holy Spirit trains you to do it, always remember that's a privilege from God. That we are able to go straight to Jesus. We are able to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to connect with God. That's amazing right there. Then I put right here, God desires your fellowship. Isn't that awesome? God desires your fellowship. He wants to have you spend time with him. He's not a wishing well or nothing like that. He's not a genie. He's God of the universe that wants to answer your prayers. But then I went on to put like this. Faith is what moves us to pray to God. Just like coming to Jesus when you get born again and saved, faith is the one that moves you to get saved. Faith is what moves your heart to be born again and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Listen to this verse, 1 Samuel 12:23, what Samuel said. 1 Samuel 12:23. Listen to this. This is Samuel. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. See, we don't see that kind of stuff. Let me read that again. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. He's like apologizing to them. Prayer was so part of Samuel's life, he felt like I'm in sin because I'm not praying for my people. I'm in sin for not praying for my family. I felt like I missed the mark by not going to God and requesting God to move in the supernatural for your life. I'm gonna read this. Listen to this. I'm gonna talk about prayerlessness. What takes place when we don't pray? Listen to this. Prayerlessness means we have little desire of fellowship with God. It shows our trust rests on our own efforts than on the power of God. That's a true statement right there. Here's another one. Prayerlessness is saying I'm too busy for God. If any time in my walk with God, I've been walking with God for 16 years, I know it by my age, be 17 soon, but I went a couple years ago, I remember. Now I look back how I fell far from God. I got too busy. And don't we get there? We all get there, and it happens. My God, thank God for a new year, ain't that right? It happens. We just get too busy. Not that we don't love God, not that we don't want to spend time with God, but we get too busy for God. And guess what starts happening? We start seeing our fleshly desires that we used to be able to kind of control start coming back in our life. Then I put this, prayerlessness is a car with no gas. Prayerlessness, I'm not calling you lazy, but it can become laziness. It's just becoming lazy. See, I've developed a routine for my workouts. I work out every morning at 5 a.m. But then there's days I'm just like, man, I don't want to go nowhere. But you know what? I made it a habit by doing it for so long. So I do it it doesn't matter how I feel. I don't care what. I just do it and make it happen. Imagine this year, 2022. We come to a place in our life, no matter what we do, we learn to pray without ceasing. We learn to fall on our knees and our faces and say, God, I'm going to make my request known to you, Lord, for my family, for my friends, for my church. Lord, just for our country and where we're going right now, Lord. If we can look at the Holy Spirit as a trainer, that we can start saying today, Holy Spirit, train me to be a man of God or a woman of God of discipline. That prayer is like breathing to me. Help me get that in my mind. Because see, the Holy Spirit not only encourages, Holy Spirit can bring conviction to us. That's a good thing when you're a man or woman of God, because guess what? Sometimes that can get us refocused on what we need to do for God. Then I put this right here. You want to know if you're fully dependent on God? Look at your prayer life. There it is. If you want to know that you're fully dependent on God by moving into supernatural, you can ask yourself right now where you're sitting, how's my prayer life? How is my prayer life? Doesn't matter where it's at, when it's at, what time it's at, how long it is, but are you praying and seeking God? You know that, if you are or not. I put this, prayerlessness is an insult to God. Every prayerless day is a statement by a helpless individual. I do not need God today is what we're saying. But I'm looking at men and women of God that came today to say, I do want God and I do need God. And God, help me and train me to pray and seek after your face. Amen. Then I put this. Hey, I said the hard stuff. Now, how do we overcome prayerlessness? What are some tips that I've seen other men and women of God apply to their life, that my own self apply to my life, that I've seen people like my friend Sharon or Pastor Ron or some of these elders apply to their life and see God move? I mean, move into supernatural. Because always remember, when we do all we can do is the natural. All we can do is come in here and do natural things. Raise our hands, praise God. But when we move in the natural, God will move into supernatural in your life. Amen. Listen to this. How to overcome prayerlessness. Choose a specific place to pray. That's the first basic step. What did Jesus always do? He always found a place to pray. Did you notice that? He'd go out into the wilderness. He'd take his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He'll get on the boat. He'll go to a deserted place where there was time where he could spend with his Father. So there's write that down. This is important stuff right here. To choose a specific place to pray. Number two, I put this. If possible, pray at the same time every day. I want to look at this verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to this. We've been in the book of Acts. Those young guys, they've been doing amazing in the book of Acts. It is just, it's the beginning of the church. We see how God has been moving in the supernatural. But God, you got to remember, when we come out of the Gospels, you're looking at guys like Peter, John. These guys, man, these guys had no confidence. They're turning on Jesus. But guess what? They got instructed and they listened to the instruction to go to the upper room. And when they got to the upper room, before the Holy Spirit even fell upon them, look what it says. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Everywhere in the Bible, you're going to see something. You're going to see something. When they were praying, you were about to see God do something supernatural. So I encourage you, like before the Holy Spirit fell upon them, it shows us in the Bible, Acts 1:14, that they were devoting themselves in prayer in one accord, in one mindset. So there's a very important verse to tell us to find that place that you can spend time with God. Then I put this here. If possible, pray with someone else. You know how easy it is for me to show up 5 o'clock in the morning and there's 10 other people doing the same thing I'm doing? You know how it's easier. Imagine if you, this year, and everything you got and everything that it can take within you, find you a prayer partner. If it's your spouse, if it's a close friend, if it's a coworker, these are just basic tools that you can apply to your life right now that can help you take your walk with God to the next level so you can see God move into supernatural. Amen? And he can do it. Find somebody to pray with. I put right here, I know a lot of people that do this. Keep a prayer journal. You'll be surprised. That helps people to be able to get their place to a place where they can pray consistently. They're using prayer journals. They're taking notes on their prayer life. They're taking notes consistently on their prayer life. Make a prayer journal. And then right here, I put here, prayer demonstrates our faith in God. Here it is. I've always tell people this. If we all went like this, we all know one thing. We all got a muscle, right? Some are stronger. Some are weaker. But the Bible says this. I want you to look at this. The Bible says that we're all given a measure of faith. So he starts us off in the right direction. Now it's up to you in applying tools like prayer to your life to help you to be able to even want to pray, to help you to get that confusion out of your mind sometimes to say, am I talking to somebody? Is God really hearing my prayers? And so that's one of my key things that I really want to talk about is prayer. But then I want us to go into a few Bible verses and see once these men, we got to remember, we're getting into the book of Acts. So we got all these men that were walking with Jesus. Like I said, a lot of them were a mess, but you know what? Jesus kept referring, go feed my sheep. Don't some of us feel like that? Sometimes we're like, God, how can I tell anybody about Jesus? I don't even got confidence in myself, have confidence in you. So that's why I'm up here hoping that we can start your year off right so you ain't thinking like that. That you're actually thinking that you are a man and woman of God with confidence. That you, no matter where you go, that you can be an example for Jesus Christ. And I want to read this verse. Listen to this. If we go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, listen to this. I'm going to talk about Peter. Because Peter is a guy that I seen. When I seen Peter, I seen a guy that went off his emotions a lot. I seen a guy that put on this tough role, and man, he did. He cut a guy's ear off. I mean, that's pretty tough, right? But still, within, he was probably scared. Because we seen what took place when he did deny Jesus. But that same Peter, he didn't give up. Something sparked inside of him, something that Jesus said to him, got him back up, got him refocused. That he looked at Jesus and he looked at the Holy Spirit, that you're my trainer and I'll do whatever it takes to get back where I need to be with you. And guess what we see? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to this. Now they observed their confidence. This is Peter and John walking through the synagogues, preaching the gospel. And here, listen to what it says. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John. I'm going to stop right there. Guess what? Peter, the one that denied Christ, that had no confidence, was seen by the people in the synagogue and all the religious leaders. And guess the first thing they seen in them? The confidence that they had. The confidence that by prayer and supplication and praying without ceasing and wanting to throw the towel and wanting to give up, but they just kept showing up. They kept trying to find ways to make it happen. And those men looked at them and said, these are men of confidence, Peter and John. And listen to this. And understood that there were uneducated and untrained men. But listen to this. This is amazing right here. They were amazed and began to recognize them as have been with Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Imagine this. All of us in this place right now. Regardless if you've been serving God your whole life or today, you don't even know Jesus and your God invited, a friend invited you and they didn't tell you they were bringing you here, I'm going to speak to you too in a minute. But imagine all of us, if we just got rededicated our life back to prayer, committed ourselves back to prayer, guess what happens? You don't got to go tell everybody about you who Jesus is all the time and you're a Christian. They'll recognize it. When you spend time with somebody long, I put that on this too, listen to this. The more you spend time with someone, the more you become like them. Do you know that? I used to mentor a lot of young people, and they always say, they sound just like you, Pastor Al. Right? Some of the words I say. But that's not a bad thing. They're spending time with me. They start talking like me and sounding like me. So imagine if we committed ourselves in prayer every single day. I don't care if it's 1 minute, 5 minutes, if it's an hour, but we stay consistent and committed to prayer. People, we'd be walking by, and guess what? They'll know. I'll recognize them by being with Jesus. I'll recognize them by how they love people, how they have patience with people, how they witness to people, how they give to people. You know, the fruits of the Spirit start happening in your life. You don't got to make yourself love somebody. You know that, right? You don't got to make yourself forgive somebody. I hope you know that. You don't got to make stuff happen when you spend time with Jesus. It just starts becoming a part of your life. You just start being that light wherever you go. You start touching other people's lives. What time is it? 7:45? I'm going to read this story. And another thing, probably the most important thing that we need to develop prayer for, we got to pray for lost people. There's this weekly chart that comes out that the Bakersfield PD puts out, a weekly chart. And I'm not lying, I took a snapshot picture of it. I kept looking at it. It broke my heart. How many people are getting arrested? How many crimes are committed? But you know what brought tears to my eyes? The 66 people that committed suicide in 1 week. It broke. I'm like, am I reading this wrong? In the first week of January, 66 people committed suicide? I don't know about you, man. That broke my heart. I got born again and saved down the street at Mary Kay Shell Mental Hospital about to commit suicide, man. That hit home close to my heart. That broke my heart so bad that I started re-praying. I said, God, don't let me lose focus, God. I got you. I know who you are. Don't let me just be sympathetic. It's all about me, poor me. Poor. No, God, don't let me get refocused, God. Let me get refocused. Let me get back on my knees, Lord. Go give me a passion and a heart for lost people, God. I'm going to heaven, Lord. They're not. They're committing suicide like it's nothing, and we're not hearing about this, Lord. We're hearing about everything else, ain't we? That broke my heart. I kept looking at it. I kept looking at it today. At the same time, I was praying, God, speak to me. Speak to your people, Lord, why we need just to get the basics back of serving you, God. Why we need the basics back of prayer. God, we need to pray for lost people. It ain't that these people are walking around thinking of suicide thoughts today. They're walking around hopeless. That's what they're doing. They're hopeless. That's why we need to apply this to our lives. I'm going to read something. I'm going to read Acts chapter 9. We're going to close out with this, but I want us to look at something. I can paraphrase it a little bit. A lot of us know Acts chapter 9. If you're a Bible reader that I recommend, become one. Change your life. This is part of your instruction manual. This is what your trainer is going to give you when you get saved and born again. The Holy Spirit's going to say, here, read it. Don't just keep it on in your car, don't just walk around with it. You need to read it. You need to read the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You got to read the Bible. So Apostle Paul, he was a man that was out there killing Christians. He would be outside waiting for us back in those days, wanting to persecute us. Had no heart and desire, was an evil thinking man of what he was trained, what he was taught. And then Acts 9 comes, and it's probably one of the greatest conversions, I believe, of the Bible. You got Apostle Paul, called him Saul at first, and he went to the high priest and he started asking for permission. So if he is on his little trip to Damascus, that if he runs into any Christians, he wants to take them, capture, and throw them in prison or kill them. Guess what happens? Here's why we need to pray for lost people. Don't lose hope. You might have somebody out there lost right now. Let me encourage you. Don't lose hope. But you got to pray. You got to seek God for your lost family. You got to seek God for our lost community. We have to seek God for the lost. And then the Bible says, I will go to a Bible verse. We'll go to chapter 3 of Acts 9. And this is Paul. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Next verse, please. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Next verse. And he said, who are you, Lord? Let's stop right there. Ain't that weird that he was out there persecuting Jesus and he didn't even know who he was? It was just something he was trained to do. And he goes on to say, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Next verse, please. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Then men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and through his eyes were open. Though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there, listen to this, 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. He's fasted. Now there, was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here, I am the Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight. Hold on, stay right there. I love when it says that because he's about to be straight. He's about to walk a straight line. I love when it says that. And inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Hold up right there. What was he doing? For he was praying. Go to the next verse, please. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, don't this sound like some of us? Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, he sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the trainer, the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. That's amazing. And he took food and was strengthened. Now, for several days, he was with his disciples who were at Damascus. Now, listen to this. I'm going to stay right there. Stay right there in the back. I hope this encourages you. This is a man that knew nothing about Jesus, that wanted Jesus and all those that served Jesus to die and go to prison. You might have a family member out there right now. They're so blinded right now. They're out there. They're living. You seem like there's no hope. But let me tell you, there is hope. This story is put in there for us to be praying for lost people. And then listen what happens. When the scales finally fell off his eyes, when the scales finally fell off his heart, and immediately, not yesterday, not let me wait a couple months. He immediately, when he was converted, immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues and saying he is the Son of God. You know what that tells me? We don't got too much time. I don't know. I didn't tell a lot of my close friends. A lot of people didn't know this, man. We had 3 weeks ago, we were having church. Pastor Ron was up here preaching on the book of Revelation. I mean, the worship team was taking care of business. I was excited because my friend Henry out there gave me some tamales. And I'm telling you, I'm like, I was pumped, right? I'm fired up, man. Can't wait to preach the gospel. Whoever I see, tell them about Jesus. I call my family and say, hey, I'm going to Varth. And they tell me not to go, but I go anyway. On Panama, and I'm walking to my car with my Mexican potato chips, with my tamales, and I'm getting in my car. Next thing you know, a masked man with a gun pointed right at me. And let me tell you, I said, man, I did not know and think that this was going to be the last time of my life. This has really happened. Might have seen it on the news. My life flashed upon me. I'm like, man, I didn't have to stuff that God. Everything flashed in my mind. Because that young man didn't say one word to me, but just had the gun on me. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, man, do I grab the gun? I'm praying, like, what do I do? And the young man tells me, get out of the car. The whole time he has the gun on me, he never takes it off. All I can say is, man, don't shoot me, man. Man, don't shoot me. Just don't shoot me. Thank God I'm a runner. You know what I did next? But I had the keys in my hand, so he didn't take my car. So, but I say that to say this. We need to get a hold of this stuff immediately. Well, I could have been dead that day, man. But let me tell you, that reopened my mind. Okay, God, life is urgent. I was just going to get some chips with my tamales. That's all I was doing. We never know, guys, when the last time we walk out of here and our heart stops. So I pray and I encourage you. In closing, I'm going to close with one more thing. And we're going to close. And we're going to believe in God to do a miracle. Let me tell you, I encourage you. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I would not leave out this door without God touching me today. I'm telling you, I don't know about you. I'd be at this altar. A prayer team, I hope you're ready. I hope everybody's ready. Because we're going to pray and we're going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to lay hands on people that are committed, want to commit suicide, broken, whatever it is. I wouldn't leave here. I'd be the first one up here saying, God, everything what Pastor Al said right now, God, I submit to you, God. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to walk with you, God. Teach me how to serve you, Lord. Immediately help me. Give me the trainer, the Holy Spirit, and help me be that man and woman of God that you've called me and you've anointed me to be. And I promise you, well, I can't promise a lot, but I promise you, you give God a chance, he will change your life forever. One more thing in closing, because I'm speaking to somebody on this. This is a subject that you need to give to God. You're holding unforgiveness in you, somebody, right now. Let me tell you, the reason why I was at Mary Kay Show Mental Hospital, because my brother was murdered, and it drove me insane. It really drove me mental. I had no hope, man. I never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't know how to pray. I drove by a church on every corner, but I didn't know nothing about God. Maybe that's the way God wanted it. He probably did, because it gave me a heart for lost people. And I remember that day, man, walking out of that mental hospital, Mary Kay Shell, for the first time. And thank God for that place. They did what they could. But I remember walking out of there for the last time. I said, Jesus, I don't even know if you're real. I give my life to you. I commit everything. I don't know what else to do. And I remember that day. I didn't get healed from depression, but I left there with some hope. Don't leave here without somewhat hope. Then this is when I found out, when I started praying and reading my Bible and seeking God and trying to avoid the unforgiveness that I had. I should try to avoid that. I didn't want to give that to God in prayer. You know why? Because I knew God would answer my prayer. And I remember one day, like it was yesterday, I says, God, I know what's stopping me. I got unforgiveness in my heart towards the person that killed my brother, Lord, and I need to be set free because I can't serve you like you want me to serve you. It's like I enjoy this pain. I've developed to enjoy the pain of unforgiveness and try to be a believer in you, Lord. And you know what I did, man? I got on my knees and I says, God, I don't want to do this, but I want the fullness of you, Lord. I surrender unforgiveness. And it wasn't overnight. Little by little, I remember waking up and I felt so set free from the bondages of unforgiveness that Jesus set me free. That's the first time I've ever experienced God in a way that the Holy Spirit took something so broken within me and was able to take it and fix me and help me now to help people, that God wants to take that unforgiveness and set you free. Amen. Just stand on your feet right now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together. Father God, I pray. God, I know, God, in a place like this, there's brokenness. God, I know in a place like this, there's hopelessness. In a place like this, there's people right now, God, they're sick. They don't feel like just living no more, God. I pray in the name that is above every name, that every knee will bow, God, that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that set me free, Lord, the Spirit that we've seen get a hold of Apostle Paul and set him free, is in this place today. So first, I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to believe. We're getting a prayer team ready. I'm telling you right now, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't leave here without getting prayed for. Don't leave here without coming up here, getting on your face and knees and saying, God, I will not leave this place till you heal me. I need a touch from you, God. I need to leave here with somewhat hope. So Father God, I pray in Jesus' name right now. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, maybe you've been invited. Maybe you're ready to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And you want to surrender back to the Lord and give everything to him, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. We won't pray for you. I see the hand back there. I see the hand back there. Come on. I see two hands back there. I see another hand back there. I see a hand right here. And the Bible says right now, angels are rejoicing when one person, I see about seven right now. We're going to pray right now. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. And I ask you to forgive me. I want to receive your son Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Bring the Holy Spirit into my life right now to be my trainer, to teach me how to walk with you. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. We thank you guys for coming out. Hope to see you guys on Sunday, but walk out there, serve the Lord, be that example, show somebody about Jesus Christ. Come to this altar if you need prayer. I wouldn't leave here. God bless you guys. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.